Hi, this is Daniel Kelly with the Maryland Terrapins. You're listening to the D Fly and Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the D Fly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. Featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, my old friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, seven top 20 games again this weekend, but spread out over the course of 3 days, including a special number one versus number two game. And I had a chance to talk to a key player in that game, Maryland attackman Daniel Kelly, as the Terps prepare to face Notre Dame in Atlanta on Saturday. Lots to get to, so Dixie, let's get it. Next is a big week. Big week, lots of great games, and you're back on the mic for one of them.
True. Aren't all these weeks big, though?
To me, they are.
When you look at,
to me, they
you
are.
Know, again, we've only got 70 and change men's Division I teams playing, so every game is significant with this out-of-conference. And conference play kicks off for some. This week, Patriot League has some conference games. And yes, you're accurate. I will be on Saturday with Quint, Hopkins, Virginia. Noon start. Mark Dixon and Quint Kesnick, a.k.a. the Hopkins message board's worst nightmare on the call, us two calling game together. And
the Hopkins fans to say, like, why you're trying to so hard to be anti-Hopkins to feel like you're fair and balanced. And is that what you get?
I don't know. I like every now and again, I'll go and lax power and you know, these nudniggs, you know, thinking they know everything. And they, I will say they come at Quint a lot more than me. And that's simply because Quint does more games. I mean, he's more visible. He's, you know, the guy. So, but it's just kind of funny. These keyboard warriors, that's like, there's a lot lower forms of life in this world, but when it comes to lacrosse, and these anonymous posters, it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, if I ever met these people face to face, and I have no idea who they are, they knew who I am, I put my name on everything, like, would they have the chutzpah to say what they say in anonymous chat rooms or message boards? Would they have that? Would they have the guts to say it to our faces? That's the funny thing.
Maybe. Hey, these are our fans, so let's not diss these people too hard.
I don't know if they're fans of mine.
That's
They
true.
Might be fans of you, but no. And to be fair and balanced, there are people who are very complimentary in the Hopkins message rooms and other programs as well. So not to be completely gloom and doom, because there are some great people that are very gracious and very appreciative, complimentary of my work as well as others, Quint included. They're just those couple that are just consistently, you know, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, I can only imagine when you do a Hopkins game. I know for a fact Jay Billis, and former Duke player, does a ton of college basketball. You see him all the time. And Jay Williams too, former point guard for Duke and NBA player. When they talk about Duke, and that if they are not extremely complimentary, the Duke fans just rip them like, oh, you're trying so hard. Corey Alexander, though, Virginia alum, who every single time I turn my TV on and watch a college basketball game, it seems like Corey Alexander is broadcasting it. Virginia fans must love him because he's extremely complimentary.
I think you just have to be true to yourself and true to the game. And what do I mean by that? You call what you see. And you have to be fair. You don't want to be too critical, simply because these are still college athletes. These
yeah,
are
of
not.
Course.
Well, I mean, well, you know, some of them are being paid now with NIL, but I think you can't lose sight of the fact that they're college athletes and they play lacrosse. You know, they're not making the tens of thousands or even millions of dollars that, or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that football players are making, or even basketball players might be pulling in. You know, look, at the end of the day, it's just a game. I've got two kids playing this game. I know how hard it is. I know the dedication, commitment, all that good stuff. I don't know. I'm just, I guess I just got a little cranky thinking about. I was trying to be funny by saying we're the worst nightmare, but then you got me going. So this is your fault.
I love getting you wound up,
Doesn't
Aaron.
take much.
Dix, we do have a rematch of last year's title game this week, and we have a special deal for our listeners to get discounted tickets to this May's championship weekend. The men's and women's NCAA championship weekends are heading back to Gillette Stadium, held jointly for the first time since 2017. From May 23rd to May 26th, there is nowhere else in the lacrosse world to be than Foxborough, Massachusetts, for eight of the best and most impactful games of the season. The action starts Friday with the D1 women's semifinals, continues on Saturday with the men's D1 semis. Championship action starts on Sunday with men's D2, men's D3, women's D1. And it culminates on Monday afternoon with the men's D1 final. This year, Inside Lacrosse is proud to partner with the NCAA to offer you, our loyal listeners, $5 off all single-day ticket options, men's and women's, by using the code ILPOD at checkout. That's ILPOD at checkout. So head to ncaa.com/laxtickets and enter ILPOD at checkout to purchase your tickets. Once again, that's ncaa.com/laxtickets, promo code ILPOD at checkout for $5 off your tickets. Dix, this is the weekend where the couple Ivy League teams go down to Tobacco Road, play like an Ivy ACC challenge with Princeton and Penn traveling south, take on Duke, UNC. They'll switch. It's the second year they've done that. And that really kicks off the action this Friday with two top 20 matchups. Number 13, Penn, 2-1 on the season. They'll go to Chapel Hill, take on the new number 4 ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. They're undefeated. This is the game's at 5 o'clock. It's on ESPN Plus. Carolina leads the all-time series 9-5 and got a win last year in Chapel Hill, 13-9. Don Petromalis coming off an incredible game at Homewood Field. He led all scorers with 4 goals last year, and Carolina looks like they're playing some good lacrosse right now.
Yeah, it's an exciting weekend. And although this game is being played Friday night, February 28th, let's say in essence, let's just round up. This kicks off the month of March. Hard to believe, but March 1 is Saturday. And the weather here in Baltimore has been downright pleasant. You know, after last week, 20 degree temperatures, we're up in the 60s. And I think for this weekend, it will be in the Baltimore area. I think it's on Saturday, at least. I think it's supposed to be a nice day. And reports from Chapel Hill, the temperatures have been in the 70s this week for practice. So this is an exciting game. Penn coming off of a shellacking of a pretty good Delaware team, holding the Blue Hens to 2 goals. So that defense has been as good as advertised after a game against Albany where they didn't play that great. So they're still there. They're still the hallmark of this Penn team. And a Carolina team, you mentioned the win over Hopkins, great game. You and I were both there. I was talking to some people this week, and I was like, yeah, it was a rare occasion where D Fly and I actually hung out outside of the podcast. We tend to not socialize. And we were able to not only we had lunch together last Friday with our good friend Andy Bolello,
That was
but then we
nice.
sat together with our wives and some friends at the Hopkins Carolina game. So it was like a double dip of D Fly Dixie social. You know, we're kind of like a rock band after all these years. We just don't really socialize. We only get together on stage.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah, it was a fun time. We need to
It
do that a
was.
little bit more.
But you know, you had the good news for Carolina, their superstars were as good as advertised. Owen Duffy, 4 goals, Don Petromalis, 6. But if you're Carolina, you got to find that depth of scoring. Against Stony Brook, when they had 9 goals, 9-4 victory, Petromalis had 5, Ty English with 2 or 3. So when you're top heavy like that, okay, you can get away with it. But as the season progresses, you got to find more offensive outlets, if you will. So this will be a terrific game to kick off the weekend. You know, last year it was what well, on the Friday night it was Princeton beating Carolina, Penn beating Duke, and then the reversal on Sunday, Carolina beat Penn, Duke beat Princeton. We'll see how this year's edition goes.
Yeah, and it, Penn is really led by first team All-American defenseman Brandon Lovell. Ooh, you think he takes Owen Duffy in this matchup?
I
What do you
think
think there,
so
Glenn?
because yeah, he's their number one guy. He's their number one cover, and Duffy is the catalyst on the offense. Petromalo is the dangerous shooter, but Dom is not your. And I know we'll talk about Hopkins, Virginia later. When you think about great lefty shooters in the game, I think Dom has a little bit more mobility than say like a Hunter Chavette from Hopkins. So he's not only great with his feet set, stick back, but he can get to the cage and get to the middle of the field. So you need a little bit of versatility when you guard him. The other thing is Carolina really needs to get something out of that third attack position. They're not getting much, from that third spot. So they really need to up that production and not make that, like a, if you could take away Dom, you could take away Owen Duffy. That third spot needs to be a little bit more dangerous, and they need more midfield scoring. But I would imagine Lavelle would be on Duffy.
That game is at 5 o'clock. You can catch that on ESPN Plus. The other big game is a top 10 matchup between number 8 Princeton. This game will be at number 7 Duke. Duke's undefeated. I think people have thought of Duke as a shaky start, but they're 4-0 coming into this game. That game will be at 6 o'clock, and you can catch that on TV on the ACC network. Only the second meeting ever between these schools. It was the first time, it was last year, when Duke came off of its stunning loss to Penn and just destroyed Princeton. I was at this game. Princeton got up 2-0 in the first 3 minutes, maybe. And then Duke flipped the switch, scored 13 of the next 14 goals. It was 11-3 at halftime and effectively over. Duke came away with a 17-8 blowout win. And I'm sure Princeton is going to be looking for some revenge this Friday night.
A double dip on Friday. Who could ask for anything more as a lacrosse fan? Jay Alter, Jules Henningberg will have the call on ACC Network. Princeton coming off of that overtime win over Penn State, back to earth a little bit, losing to Maryland last weekend. And Duke, overtime victory against Michigan. And you're right, 4-0. Typically, this time of year, Duke is what, 3-1 or 2-2? They have a track record of dropping games in February, but they have not done so. And they've quietly put together a good start to the season. Well, yeah, beginning of the year, both Duke and Virginia out of the top five. And Virginia, they've struggled. They've lost two in a row, lost to Richmond at home, then got handled in Columbus last weekend by Ohio State. But Duke has put together a 4-0 record. And Andrew McAdory is the leader offensively. He scored the game winner in overtime. And this is going to be an interesting game. I think faceoffs are going to be critical. And how does Duke match up with Princeton's attack? That, the attack of Princeton is their bread and butter, is their main focus offensively. How will Duke's defense do against this Princeton Tiger attack? Will be a key in this game.
All right, moving on to Saturday, and there's two big games. The first game will be in Baltimore, Homewood Field, for the Doyle Smith Cup on the line as this old rivalry is renewed when number 19 Virginia takes on the number 6th ranked Johns Hopkins Blue Jays. Both these teams coming off of a loss. This game will be at noon. You can catch it on ESPN Plus
With me and Quint Kessenick.
with Dixie and Quint calling it.
So these teams again come, you mentioned it, both coming off losses, but in much different fashion. So Hopkins loses their first game of the year in a game that could have gone either way against North Carolina. And you got to give a lot of credit to the Blue Jays at home. Carolina went up 3-0 in the first 57 seconds. And Peter Middleman calls a timeout, regroups his guys. They get back at it, and it was a terrific game. I think the one thing when you look at for Hopkins, Hunter Chavette, last two games, only two assists, and they both came against North Carolina. So teams have kind of figured him out with respect to what he can do offensively. Can he get back on track scoring wise? Russell Melendez, Matt Collison. They have been the alphas, as you would expect them to be. And at this time last year, we were kind of talking about Melendez as being a question mark, a little bit of enigma. What's going on with 31? He's been terrific in the last two games for Johns Hopkins. Virginia, much different feeling for Virginia coming off of they were dominated by Ohio State on the road last weekend. The status of McCabe Millen is in the air after he left that game, had to be helped off the field last weekend against Ohio State. So what is his status in an already very thin offense that hasn't done much? And in talking with people who have seen Virginia and covered Virginia, they describe their offense as being rudderless. So we'll see if they can find something to get back on track at Homewood Field. Ryan Colsey has been a real bright spot for Virginia, really kind of carrying the load, but he needs help. And this thing is so unpredictable. So we're sitting here saying all signs point to Hopkins running Virginia on Homewood Field.
I would imagine they'll be favored in this game by a few
Right.
points. Yeah.
But remember, a week ago, we're sitting here saying Harvard is going to give up 25 goals to Syracuse in the dome. And what happens? The Crimson win.
That's why we play the games.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Herm Edwards. That's why you play the game. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing unfolds on Saturday, Homewood Field. And look, both teams are not getting terrible goaltending, but they're not getting game-changing goaltending either. We'll see how that plays out.
Big game at Homewood Field. You can catch that at noon on ESPNU and ESPN Plus, and Dixie and Quint on the call. All right, Dixie, the main event on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock on the ACC network. Number one, Notre Dame takes on number two, Maryland. Two undefeated teams, a repeat of the NCAA title game last year that Notre Dame won 15-5 in Philadelphia. This game will be at Bobby Dodd Stadium at Georgia Tech. They expect a real nice crowd, 8,000 to 10,000 fans on hand. This is going to be a lot of fun. I say, let's get it.
And part of a doubleheader, right? I think it's Drexel and Mercer play there as well. Yeah, you hit it. ACC Network. It'll be Chris Cotter, a Georgia Tech alum, no less, played lacrosse for the Yellow Jackets back in the day. Him and Paul Carcaterra will have the call. Where do you start with this thing? Maryland, the improbable run to the national championship game a year ago. Notre Dame, the buzzsaw, just took care of business, won their second consecutive title. A lot of different faces on both teams. But remember, for the longest time, Maryland Notre Dame was always 6-5. No matter who won, it was 6-5, 6-5.
Yep.
Boy, the times have changed. You know, Notre Dame, much more free-flowing on offense. They welcome back Jordan Faison. Last weekend, he scored a goal against Georgetown. Maryland, after what many were considered to be a bad effort against Loyola and had people clutching their pearls, and you know, the sky was falling at College Park, and they follow it up with a win against Syracuse and now a win against Princeton. So the Terps are riding high, ranked second. This has all the makings of a terrific early season game. It'll be close. You know, how does Maryland defend this Notre Dame offense? How does Notre Dame stay patient against a Maryland team that can be cerebral and that can also put together runs at any given time? The goalie battle, you know, Logan McNaney, the grizzled veteran against, you know, Riccardelli, who's just getting his feet wet as a starter for the Fighting Irish. You know, there's storylines all over the field. Should be a really good one.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a chance to talk to one of the leaders of the Terps this week, senior attackman Daniel Kelly. Let's bring him in now to talk to him as he prepares to face the Irish tomorrow. Please welcome into the show a fifth-year attackman for the Maryland Terrapins, Daniel Kelly. Daniel, thanks for joining us on the DFly and Dixie podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, Daniel, let's start with the Terps' improbable run to the national championship last year. You'll face Notre Dame in a great number one versus number two rematch of that championship game. But how would you best characterize your improbable run to that national championship game in which you were named to the NCAA All-Tournament team last year?
Yeah, last year was a unique year. We always knew that we had it in us. We kind of stumbled a few times throughout the year, but once it got into May, we knew that we could make a run at it. Notre Dame was the better team that day. But the guys, we stuck together. Like I said, after the game, I remember that interview after the game, like I wouldn't have traded anybody in that locker room for anybody else. We stuck together, the heart that we had. We truly loved each other. You know, we came up short, but that's fueling us for sure going into this week and the weeks to come.
The Terps are off to an amazing start, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree, the best start of anyone. You have the best wins so far this season, especially Richmond, Syracuse, and last week's win over Princeton. How would you best describe the start of the 2025 season for the Terps?
Yeah, we have a lot of new guys on our team, which have been awesome. They've been amazing additions. They've been awesome teammates. They've been great on the field. Been a joy to share the field with those guys. But for us, I think we're just taking it week by week. And a lot of guys, they look at the wins that we've had. We're just trying to go 1-0. We each week get better. Each week, focus on ourselves. We still have a lot of room to improve. We haven't accomplished anything yet. So for us in the leadership group that we have, we're just really trying to take it week by week, day by day, find little ways to improve and give ourselves the best shot on Saturdays. And that's what we've been doing. And it's no different this week.
You grew up in a lacrosse rich family in ball around outside, just outside of Baltimore. You're one of five boys in a family. Was it like growing up in the Kelly household?
It's awesome. You know, my dad obviously has coached at Calvert Hall for a long time, but growing up with the brothers that I've had, my older brother, Jacob, played 4 years at UNC, took a fifth year at Georgetown. Joshua Shuey, we call him, is a redshirt freshman at Georgetown. And then I got Caleb, who's a freshman at Calvert Hall, and Eli, who's in seventh grade at Calvert School. And those guys, I mean, they fuel me. They're my motivation for sure. But a lot of rivalries in the backyard. We got into it all the time, but it's made me a better person. And I'm just trying to pass that forward to my younger brothers, like my older brother did to me. He pushed me in ways that I wouldn't have dreamed of. So I think for me, being able to look up to him and understand what he did in the game and is still doing coaching and stuff like that. For me, I hope my little brothers can look up to me and be proud of me and try to strive to be in the same situation I am. So that's all I'm trying to do. But it was a lot of fun. You know, we got into it for sure. We still do. There's a lot of friendly rivalries in the backyard. But, you know, my mom, when we would come in, my mom would always tell us to chill out, give each other a hug and move forward. But there was a lot of fun fiddlestick games in the backyard and stuff like that.
I know where you're coming from. Believe it or not, we have a lot in common. We're both Dans from big Irish Catholic families.
Yeah.
I also have four brothers.
Yep.
My dad was also a coach. Nice. He was a football coach. And when I was a freshman in high school, he was our coach. And I played a lot as a quarterback. And it was not always easy playing for your dad. What was that like for you playing for your dad at Calvert Hall?
It was special for me. I know it was special for my older brother as well and one of my younger brothers. But my dad, he just instilled in us just to how to be a good teammate. He never really got too much into like the X's and O's with us. Obviously, he would help us out here and there. But for us, it was how to be a good leader and how to be a good teammate. And the hardest part, I mean, people get to go home after a bad loss and to their families, and I get to go home to the coach. But that's part of it. And he did a great job of leaving lacrosse in the driveway. He tried to not to bring it inside the house. But there was times where it's like, oh boy, I got to go home and I got to see the head coach and eat dinner with the head coach. You know, you don't people underestimate that. It's not an easy thing to do. But you know, he pushed us. He never made it easy on us, that's for sure. But I was blessed from a young age, I was coached by legendary coach Dave Huntley, who kind of took the reins from my dad a little bit on coaching us face to face a little bit. And so Dave, Coach Hunts, was the guy that kind of instilled a lot of things in me because, when your dad's yelling at you on the field, it's a little bit different than an actual coach. So my dad would give us little pointers, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world. I really wouldn't have. He instilled so much in me and my brothers and how to be a competitor, how to have the will to win, how to be a good teammate and do the little things. That's a big thing for him, is just find ways to do little things and be a great teammate out there, and the rest will kind of fall into place. But yeah, it was unique, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world, and I really appreciate everything he's done for me and in my game.
Yeah, it helps when you're really good, like you were. So it helps. But I remember the same kind of things. Like it was my dad would often be like the hardest on me, and other kids on the team would point it out, like, man, your dad is really laying it into you.
Yeah,
Because I was a quarterback. So I kind of had, even as a freshman, I had to be like in charge. And I
there were a couple
remember.
times. There was a couple times where I was like, we got kicked out of practice. And my dad puts us on the end line and at Calvert Hall, and he's running us, and he's like, you know what? Get out of here. Go, you're done. Practice. You guys get off the field. And we're sitting in the locker room, like, what the heck just happened? We're just like, all right, I guess everybody go home. Like, we don't deserve to play today. Jacob and I, my older brother, look at each other, and we're like, are we going home? Like, I don't know about that. We might go to Chipotle for a little bit and hang out before we go back home.
Yeah, I remember a lot of quiet car rides home
Yeah.
from school. Yeah, for sure. Who's it been easier to play for, your dad or Coach Tillman?
I would probably say Coach Till, to be honest with you. Coach Till, I mean, he's amazing. He instills confidence in us as players. He lets us play, which is what I like. But he cares about us as people first and foremost, and how to build us into being good men on and off the field. My dad, he did the same thing. But for me, it's been nice to not have my dad as the coach for a little bit. I love him. I care about him a ton. But I've enjoyed my time with Coach Tills for sure. And I think they're both a little bit different, but I've enjoyed these past 5 years with Coach Tills for sure.
One of the remarkable things about Coach Tillman is that he gets his teams, no matter who is on it, to play at a super high level and play really great, fantastic, fun to watch team lacrosse. This year is no different. It just seems like you reload, there's new faces. Who are some of those new faces? People who may have not seen the Terps and might be seeing them for the first time this weekend when you play Notre Dame. Who are some of those guys to keep an eye on in 2025?
Yeah, the first people that come to mind are Aiden Aiken and Jack Schultz. I mean, they both had their first career goals last weekend at Princeton. Schultz being a freshman, Aiken being here for a few years. But those guys have worked. Aiken coming from the scout team, and he grinded and went against Ajax every day and Will Schaller every day. And those great defensemen. And then he comes up with us, and he's picking up right where he was. And then Jack Schultz being a freshman, I mean, he's just physically dominant. He's a force out there. He runs like a deer. He's been fun to play with. So those two, at least offensively, are the two guys for sure. And then Peter Lake, he's been great. He's been a great addition down on the DN. And I could go on about the transfers. I'm sure you guys know about them as well. But those three younger guys, if you want to say that, have been awesome for us. And I expect them to continue to do that down the line.
This week, as we mentioned, you'll play top-ranked Notre Dame. You guys have had a chance to watch them on film, start putting in your game plan without giving anything away. Like, what does Maryland need to do to try to get a win this Saturday?
We need to play tough, complementary lacrosse. It's no different than any other week. Obviously, Notre Dame's a great team, and I have a ton of respect for them as a program and their players, and the way that they play. But for us, I think it comes down to just playing the Maryland way, being a Terp, winning the ground, little things like that. I think that's what being a Terp means, is being a tough player, and being a guy who's going to grind it out at all times. So for us, I think that's a big key, is being disciplined and letting the game kind of come to you, but at the same time, winning the ground and being tough, I think is huge.
All right, let me get to some quick hitters here. All
Yeah.
right, got answers. Who's your all-time favorite sports team?
The Ravens.
Good answer. Good answer. Where's the best food in College Park?
Chipotle.
What's your favorite Maryland Terrapins team to go watch play?
The basketball team.
Men's or women's?
Men's.
Who's the best chef on the Terps lacrosse team?
I'll give Alex Wicks a shout out. Alex Wicks, yeah.
What's your favorite thing about going to school at the University of Maryland?
The people.
If I walked into the Terps locker room right now, what would be playing on the aux?
Probably some country.
Any artists in particular?
We listen to a lot of Cody Johnson, Zach Bryan here and there, but Will Shallard, he's usually on the aux during the day.
Where's your favorite restaurant to eat on the road when the Terps travel?
Ooh. We go to Maggiano's a lot, depending on where we are.
Who's the biggest Terp fan, Governor Westmore or Bruce Posner?
Bruce Posner, that guy, he's a legend.
Right, last question. You're putting together an all-time Calvert Hall lacrosse team. Give me three or four players who have to be on.
Three or four players. I would say defensively, I would say Evan Connell and Garrett Eppel. I remember growing up and seeing those guys play. Offensively, I would say my brother Jacob. Damn, there's so many. You could go with Ryan Brown, Brendan Curry. Oh, man. I got a long list. But those guys, I mean, I looked up to them, and getting dropped off at Calvert Hall when I was 2 years old to go sit in the gym and watch practice. I remember watching those guys. So.
That's a great answer. Hey, Daniel, thank you for being a guest on the DFly Dixie podcast. Best of luck to you and the Terps this week and throughout the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, welcome back to the DFly and Dixie podcast presented by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm, specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Yeah, it was good to talk to Daniel. I felt like I have some similar experience playing for my dad when I was a high school football player, and he played for his dad at Calvert Hall. And I could see him when he talked about his family and playing for his dad, especially get pretty emotional. So it was really fun to talk to him.
Yeah, and he's got a number of cousins playing as well. JK is at Cornell, and Mick Kelly's at Denver, and yeah, it's a new, the Kelly name in lacrosse is a long one, a legacy one.
Yeah, for sure. Again, that game is on at 1 o'clock on the ACC network on Saturday. Dixie, there's a really nice set of games on Sunday too. Three top 20 matchups. Starts at 11 o'clock on ESPN Plus. You can catch number 8 Princeton at number 4 North Carolina. Princeton won this game last year, 15-9, in the pouring rain on fr the Friday night leg of this kind of two-game weekend. The Princeton attack was dominant in that game, scoring 12 to 15 goals. Mackesy scored 5 goals. Owen Duffy had 4 goals and 2 assists for the Tar Heels. And Mike Gianfricaro had 12 saves for Princeton and helping them to that victory. He'll be on the other side, representing the Carolina blue and white this weekend when they meet at Sunday at 11 a.m.
You're such a neophyte. You never say Carolina blue and white. You just say the Carolina. That's all. That's all.
But they'll be wearing white uniforms. So I just threw
Okay,
that in
great.
there.
But it still has Carolina blue. You don't associate Carolina with white. It's Carolina blue, you
I'm
blue
proud
devil.
that I got that wrong. I'm
Yeah, I
proud that I
bet
grew
you are.
on them.
Just wait till Mike G gets a hold of you. Smack you around.
Not him, it's his mom and dad.
Yeah, for sure. So this is like, okay, before you really want to dive into this game and figure out how it's going to go, you almost want to wait for Friday to see how things play out and how the teams play. And but that is the number one storyline going into this game, is Mike G facing his former team, his former school. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. And this game was originally slated for noon, but moved up to 11. And who's going to have more gas left in the tank? You figure the Ivies are at a little bit of disadvantage this weekend, being on the road, sleeping in a hotel versus the Carolina guys and Duke guys being able to sleep in their own beds, whether it be their dorm or their houses or apartments, whatever they call home. But you know, again, this is not only fun for lacrosse fans to see four quality teams go at it, you know, in a 48-hour period, but also for these teams, it's that nice setup because all four have their eyes on Foxborough, and not only that, but their conference tournaments, you know, the Ivy League tournament and the ACC tournament, respectively. This is a good dress rehearsal for both of those events. So that'll be when it comes to Sunday, it's like what team, especially if it's warm down there in the in on Tobacco Road, which it should be. And yeah, we'll see what team might have a little bit more juice on Sunday.
Yeah, and in that other game, Penn will take on Duke at 1 o'clock, and you can catch that on ESPN Plus. This has been an interesting rivalry. Mike Murphy, the Penn head coach, went to Duke. They've played quite a bit since he's been the coach at Penn. Penn holds an 8-5 advantage in this series, including winning two of the last three, which I was a little bit surprised to look that up. I think people remember last year when number 17 ranked Penn came in on a Friday night and upset number one ranked Duke. I mean, at that point, we thought Duke was a juggernaut of a team. So had a great season, but with that starting attack, you know, the Brennan O'Neal and Josh Uwata and Dyson Williams, it was a stunning upset. I was really surprised about that. And it was Brendan Lavelle. He had six ground balls, caused a couple turnovers, held Brennan O'Neal to one goal on eight shots. You know, it really set him up for his first team All-American status. And we'll see how it turns out this week.
Unfortunately for Duke fans, I think that game became a harbinger of the rest of the season. And we've talked about Army having a disappointing 2024. I think you can definitely throw Duke into that category as well, losing in the quarterfinals. That was a team led by Brennan O'Neal, and you mentioned some of the other pieces, you know, defensively Kenny Brower, and you know, so you know, I think Duke is has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They've flown under the radar, haven't been talked about a ton. So this is another opportunity. You know, the Princeton game on Friday, and then you got the, you know, the Quakers coming in on Sunday, and you know, you got to imagine Duke remembers losing to Penn on their home turf. And then you, for the flip side, you know, Penn not having the success that they wanted to have in 2024. So two hungry teams, and much like Carolina and Princeton, what team is going to be better suited for that quick turnaround and you know, ready to play on Sunday?
And there's one other outstanding top 20 matchup on Sunday. If you're sick of watching North Carolina and Princeton and the Ivy League and ACC teams, there's a great game between number three Cornell. We'll go down to Richmond, play the Spiders in Robins Stadium at 1 o'clock on ESPN. This is the first time these schools have ever met in lacrosse. CJ Kearse, he's good, right? 17 goals, 5 assists in 3 games. It's amazing. Richmond has responded well after their season opening loss to Maryland with 3 straight wins. This is a sneaky, really, really good game.
I don't think there's anything sneaky about it. I think this is a great game. And when you look at Richmond, their latest win, 9-8 over Lehigh on the road, that's just a, you know, Lehigh is just not an easy place to play. It's not that it's rambunctious, it's just kind of there.
It's a tough road
And
trip for any team.
it's a tough road trip, and it's a place where you kind of have to, you have to bring your own energy. You have to create mojo. And Richmond fell behind early 3-1 and was able to rebound. And you know, they look, they had to go on a run in the late in the game, down 7-5, and they were able to score 4 straight goals to go up 9-7. And then they had to play good defense because that ninth goal came with 11:20 left in the game. But their headliner has been Lucas Littlejohn. He's been really, really good for Richmond. And you mentioned CJ Kearse, and I don't think anyone saw the shellacking that they gave Denver last weekend by 10 goals. I don't think anybody really saw that coming. So, this is a Cornell team that's riding high. This is a Richmond team that's had a program first, beating Virginia for the first time ever in their program history. How will they handle that? Really, really good game on tap. I'm looking forward to checking this one out.
Yeah, again, it's 1 o'clock on Sunday. Catch it on ESPN Plus. All right, Dixie, it's time for the give and go. This week, I want to talk about game shows.
Okay.
My house, we don't eat dinner till late. Usually around like 7:30, 8 o'clock,
Oh
sometimes
my
later.
God. What's the
Yeah.
matter with you?
Yeah, my daughter gets mad at me every day. My son does not care. And but we have Jeopardy or sometimes Wheel of Fortune or Family Feud on. Like they come on at like the 7 o'clock hour in our TV market, and we watch those on a regular basis, and we have a lot of fun with them. And so it seems like we watch a lot of game shows. Now I have my nine-year-old son. I'll come in and he'll be watching old game shows on YouTube or something, and then my wife's been taping Jeopardy and Family Feud, and I'm like, when did, it'd be like 8:30, and I'm like, what? How's this on? Oh, we taped it. We're watching it from a few days ago. So we're watching a lot of game shows. So I want to talk about game shows. What were some of your favorites?
All right, hold on. Let me name a couple from back in the day, because I used to love me some game shows. Still do. I don't watch. I love watching Steve Harvey on The Family Feud. Is just that guy's ridiculously awesome.
He's amazing.
It's
So
great.
good.
I love what I typically will tune in for Fast Money.
Yeah, that's great.
Back growing up, I used to love Tic-Tac-Toe was
Right.
great. Joker's Wild. Used to watch
Yeah.
Joker's Wild. Even Love Connection was great.
Chuck
Could that be
Woolery?
considered a game show?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That counts.
Love Connection. And the one that I used to watch, and then I think they brought it back, but now I'm like, this game sucks. But you used to watch it for the whammies. Pressure
Yeah,
Luck.
pressure luck. No
No
whammies, no whammies.
whammies, no
Yeah.
whammies.
That
Stop.
was
And
a
then
fun
they.
show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has a ranking of the top 50 game shows of all time. Number one was The Gong Show.
Oh, was that considered a game show?
I guess so. Contestants would go on there and perform, and there'd be judges who would select, and they had The
Mean
Gong Show
Gene the
right so
Dancing Machine
Chuck
and
Barris.
Chuck Barris. That guy was a mess.
Wasn't he a spy? Wasn't there a
That's what,
whole
yeah, there
movie
was a
about
movie made about it. I don't
it?
know if he was like, yanking our crank or really a spy, but yeah, that was a thing.
Jeopardy, number two. The Joker's Wild, which you mentioned, number three. Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, Password, like Password Plus, and some other variations of that. The Price is Right as number seven. Everyone grew up watching The Price is Right, Bob
Yeah,
Barker.
you couldn't help but catch The Price is Right at some point. Not one of my favorites, but was actually, well, yeah, Bob Barker was a pretty smooth dude, right? He was
Yeah, he was.
pretty cool.
And yeah, it was the, but like the game, what was it? The final, the big wheel we spin and
Yeah,
try to get
yeah.
closest to. I mean, like it's like the one of the most famous of all time. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember how popular that show was?
I do remember that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That checks in at number eight. Match Game checks in at like nine. And they have Super Password, so like one of those password games. And I think all those games are great, but I listed a couple other ones that I remember that were great. Card Sharks, $25,000 pyramid, like
I
those
never
kind of
got
like
into
trivia
that
games.
one. I never got into that one.
Pressure Luck, The Newlywed Game.
Newlywed Game was, yeah, whoopee. They used to say
Making
that was the
whoopee,
code word for sex was whoopee.
yeah. Name That Tune and Hollywood Squares were the other two that I just remember, like, mindless entertainment. Sometimes you'd catch like a C-list celebrity in like one of those shows or something like that, and it was just always fun to watch those. So here's my big question for you.
Well, wait a minute. Forgive me. Was Tic-Tac-Toe in the top 10 for IMDb or anywhere around?
It made the list. Let me
All right,
look where
good.
Tic-Tac-Toe was number 27.
Wow, that low?
Yeah,
I mean,
27.
Wink Martindale was a legend.
Wink Martindale. The defensive coordinator.
That is okay, by the way. Like that guy, and I don't know him. He could be a great guy, but he just looks like a problem. And like, how lazy is that? That your last name's Martindale, and they give you the nickname Wink. Like, why? He doesn't look like anything like a wink.
I know, I think that's why it's funny.
It's ironic.
Yeah, it's like a wink.
He's
It's took it to a whole nother
he's more
level.
like a like a like a buzz
Yeah,
or a you
yeah.
know like you know
We're talking
he's not a
about,
wink.
yeah, he's not a wink. It's a funny nickname. That's why I think it's funny. So here's my big question. You watch Family Feud. I love watching Family Feud and my family. So you have five people from your family that go on it. So the Dixons, you got four people in your family. You take your two sons and your wife and you go on there. Who's your fifth? Who's your fifth?
Good question.
I'll give you a second to think about it. So we had this discussion around the dinner table like a year ago. We were watching Family Feud and I was like, hey, if we ever went on this show, who would we bring? And my kids were like, Aunt Tracy. Tracy Giafricaro would be who, and I have a big family, and there's lots of cousins and aunts and uncles and lots of good candidates. But I was like, yeah, she would be awesome on that show as like our fifth person. She would say smart but really funny answers. So Tracy Giafricaro would be our fifth.
So you would take your two kids,
Yeah.
but they're too young for the
Well, I would
game.
like, look, we're not going on that show. So it's a dinner
Right.
table conversation. Like,
I
if
see.
someday we go on this show,
Gotcha.
who would
All
we
right.
take?
Our fifth would either be my brother Dan or my brother-in-law Paul would probably be our fifth.
Yeah.
I
And
don't have as
why?
big of a family as you do.
And why would you pick someone like that?
Because they're family and they're
Okay.
both pretty smart guys. I mean, you know, a lot of this is. I mean, look, it's not there's not a whole lot of skill involved. It's like trying to guess what people would say. You know, we asked 100 people, blah blah. The questions that I hate the most is on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, it's like, come on, what do you mean on a scale of one
Yes.
to ten?
How much
It's,
do you, how would people say you like your job? And you're like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. It could be any, it
On a
depends who you're
scale of one
asking
to
about
ten,
the
how
job.
happy are you with your life? What?
And that's always a fast money question. Every single time there's a fast
Absolutely.
money question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Yeah.
You have any, some of my favorite moments. One time they had Steve Harvey's hosting, and the question was, name a man's name that starts with the letter H. And people were like, Howard, Harvey, Harold.
Jose, the guy said Jose.
And Steve nearly fell over. He was laughing
Yeah.
so hard. I said, Jose. And there was another one where, again, you can find these like YouTube clips. There was like a name another word that goes with the word pork. And you know, it's pork chop or what
You
was
pine.
it?
You pine.
You pie. You pie, porky pie. Oh my God.
Steve Harvey's facial expressions are priceless. They're worth the price
Yeah.
of admission.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's just so amazing. Anyway.
Well, what you know, remember the Family Feud growing up, if you ever turned it on, Richard Dawson was the
Richard
host.
Dawson. Yeah.
The guy used to kiss all the women on the lips.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. This is the guy from the actor from Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes, and later in life, he was in the Schwarzenegger movie Running Man.
That's right. He was the game
Remember,
show
he was a
host
game show host.
in Running Man. That's right.
But I mean, could you imagine like trying? I mean, didn't the Spanish soccer coach got fired and is now being sued and maybe jailed for, you know, kissing one of his players after they
Yeah,
won a championship? So,
it's a
yeah,
different
times
time.
have changed, huh?
Oof, for
Oh,
the
no
better.
doubt. I mean, you want that guy? Who wants to be kissed on the lips? Like, you want to. If there's any
Richard
type of
Dawson.
smooch, like a kiss on the cheek or, you know, kiss on the hand, but right on
Yeah.
the lips, come
Yeah,
on.
it's crazy. You're right. Anyway, that seems like a good place to stop. Thanks again to our guest this week, Daniel Kelly of the Maryland Terrapins. Good luck this season. A reminder that the D Fly and Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Dixon, I'll be here all season. Please. Subscribe to the podcast so you always get it in your feed on Friday mornings. Tell a friend, share the love. It's free. We'd love to hear from you. feel free to reach out to us on social media at dfly and dixie. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, or send us an email, dflyanddixie@gmail.com. dflyanddixie@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Great slate of games this week. And as always, enjoy the games.